you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Reading from Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, finally Friday, November 3rd, 2023. We're marching along. We're already thinking about Thanksgiving. After that, we'll be thinking about Christmas, New Year's, and then when's it going to be spring and it get warm again? But thank you for joining us for this edition of Mark and Friends. We packed the home studio again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of us. And 8 days from today, a week from tomorrow, the gathering at the Virginia Theater, lots of enthusiasm. In fact, the Ministry Leaders Network luncheon that happened yesterday, many of the pastors are promoting this great event. It's a free event. Doors open at 6:30, and we're trusting that there's going to be over 1,000 people coming together to worship and praise the Lord. We have some special guests that will participate in the program. So if you don't have plans for a week from tomorrow, Saturday night, November 11th, head over to the Virginia Theater. Get seated by 7 o'clock because we'll start right away. And it's going to be a glorious time as we come together as one people of God and petition him on behalf of our city and communities, asking him to work through the first responders, through the educators, through the government officials, and those that care for the community. So that's a week from tomorrow, November 11th. Well, it's the season to be thankful, and that's the topic for today and the next few Fridays, as Pastor Jason Schiffel will facilitate our discussion with our room full of friends. And I opened up with Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, about being thankful. And so we're in that season now, Jason, right? Or should we always be in the season?
Well, I think we should always be in the season of being thankful, but unfortunately, sometimes it takes a day or a time of the year for us to remember that, for us to remember those kinds of things. And so, you know, we're called to live resurrection-shaped lives, but sometimes we don't remember that until we get to Resurrection Sunday, and then we go, oh, yeah, that's what we're supposed to, or we get to Pentecost and remember we're supposed to live Spirit-filled lives. And so I think that throughout the liturgical calendar and even the calendar that we have, God gives us these days as waypoints and markers. He gave the Jews the feasts and the festivals in order to give them times to remind them of who they're supposed to be, because so often we can forget. And the reason that we forget, it's just natural, right? Think about it like a car. The windshield is huge and the rearview mirror is small. And so our view forward tends to be big and encompass so much of what we see, and yet that rearview mirror is so small, so sometimes we forget to look back, or we don't see the whole picture as we look back, which is why God says throughout the Old Testament to remember. Remember when you were slaves in Egypt. Remember where you came from. Remember me. Remember who you're called to be. And so we're called to be people who are thankful. You know, Mark read that verse that begins that it's in Psalm 100 and verse 4, and that verse says, to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, this is temple talk. You know, this is talk of the Jews coming to the temple. But for us, it's his presence. Enter his presence with thanksgiving. Enter into his presence with praise. Give thanks to who? To him. It's directional, right? It's directional because we can become thankful for other things that were always his things, right? That can become one of our major problems. We can thank lesser things, and it really dismantles our sovereignty of God, our understanding that God is in all things and holds all things together, and God is indeed over all things. And so we need to be thankful for everything and in everything. So my question for us as we start this morning is, do we thank God as much as we should?
No.
No.
Sadly, no. No? Why not?
Take everything for granted.
In all things, God wants us to give thanks and to do all things for God.
Mm-hmm. But we think very much about ourselves.
I think that those answers are entirely true. It made me think of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, which says, always giving thanks to God in the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. And then we quote that verse a lot, right? But there's another part of that verse that's so important and crucial to the first part, which says, for this will in Christ for you. So how many of us would say we want to know what God's will is?
All the hands go up.
Yeah, all of us. So what's God's will? For us to give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because then we're seeing him in all circumstances. We're seeing him in all places. We're giving him proper due and credit. It was funny because we had this conversation with my kids the other night. And we were talking about giving thanks and being thankful. And my kids started giving thanks for like all the things that... Oh, it's just interesting how they would give thanks. Like, thank you, God, for this dinner. Thank you, God, for like things that they received. And I said, have you guys ever thanked God for the sun rising in the morning? And my one son, he goes, no, it just happens. And I said, it doesn't just happen. And the sun doesn't just set. God is the one who puts all of that in motion. And so do we give thanks to God or do we take those things for granted because they always happen? Have you gone to the kitchen and turned on the water faucet and said, thank you, God, for running water? Most likely we haven't. And that's just because we're so used to it. It happens so often.
Jason, wasn't there that YouTube clip or something you and I had saw or you talked about maybe during one of your messages where everything was wrapped up from the faucet, there was a bow on it, the bed, like the slippers, everything that the person woke up because they were gifts from God.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that that's important to see. Ann Voskamp, I read this quote this week, and I thought it was really great. She said, the world is a broken heart factory, and it's not easy to give thanks. Hmm. You know, that we can look around and we can lose hope or we can take things for granted. And she says that we need to be cognizant of that. Why? Because we need to then give that to God also and ask God to redeem and to mend and to care for our broken hearts and the ways that we would lose track of that. I would also say this, that thanksgiving or being thankful is our sensitivity and it shows our desperate need for Jesus, right? Because everywhere we're thankful, everywhere we're seeing God at work, we're sensitive to who he is and we're saying to him, we need you. Like we wouldn't know warmth unless the sun rose. And so we need God. We need God to do those things. It's funny because there was a prayer that one of my children found, and it was a prayer that sailors would say, that God would blow the wind in the direction that they're going, because they said God is over all the wind. Mm. So I want to talk about this in relationship to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. So if you are there, open up. Let's read that together. And this is the story of the 10 lepers. And it's not a story that we talk about much. It's not a story that I hear preached much. But would somebody read it for me, verses 11 through 19, Luke 17, 11 through 19.
You might have to come over this way a little.
Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well.
What a great passage, especially a great passage for us to talk about what it means to be thankful. By the way, this passage is going to show us that if you're living with a thankful heart, you're actually in the minority. You're in the extreme minority. So let's begin. It says, on the way to Jerusalem. Now, why would that be an important fact? What is in Jerusalem?
The temple.
Okay. And what is the temple significant for?
God.
Jesus.
Okay. God. Jesus, because God, Jesus is God. So yeah, And it says, on the way to Jerusalem, so on the way to go and see God, I love this, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Who's the he in this passage?
Jesus.
Excellent. Remember our rule. If I ask you a question 99.9% of the time, say Jesus, and you're probably right. He, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Why do you think that that's important, between Samaria and Galilee? What do you think those two things are significant for?
Normally, when Jews traveled up and down the length of the country, they would go the long way around Samaria instead of going through it.
Okay. So what else do you think that that stands for?
You mean, like, why would they do that?
Nope. The Bible is always, I think, telling us more than what we think it's telling us. So what is Samaria synonymous for?
The unsaved, the unchurched, kind of the diametrically opposed.
Sure. And then what is Galilee synonymous for?
Jesus' home.
Okay, Jesus' home, the people who believed, God's people. Galilee was the place where Jesus lived and did ministry. And so you've got this place. So where is Jesus inhabiting?
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle, the land in between. The land in between, where I think you actually find most people. And so Jesus is going between these two places. Why? Because sometimes I think if you go between those two places, you catch both of them.
Yes.
And so it says, as he entered a village, it doesn't give us the name of the village. You know why? Because that's not important. If we knew the name of the village, we'd run out and try and find that village and start digging around and looking for that. The village isn't important. You know what's important? Jesus. And the fact that Jesus went there. You know why else I think that that's important? Because when Jesus goes to a village, everybody in that village is important.
Amen.
Now, when he gets to the village, though, there's a problem. What do you think the problem is?
The 10 lepers.
The 10 lepers. Now, this is interesting because we wouldn't think that, we wouldn't necessarily see it as much of a problem as they saw it. We would say, oh my gosh, well, that's horrible. There's 10 people who are infirmed or 10 people who are sick. But does anybody know anything about leprosy in the context of the world of Jesus that we're talking about here?
Anybody who was a leper was a complete outcast and nobody would have anything to do with them.
Exactly, yep. Numbers chapter 5 and verse 2, Leviticus 13:46. In fact, in Numbers 5, it tells you that if you got a leper, send him out of the camp. They don't get to live in your village. They don't get to live in your context. They're out. What else would be bad about that? What else do you think?
Oh, they could spread their disease.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them to be around them.
And leprosy was a very evident disease. Your skin, your limbs, your eye. I mean, you saw leprosy. You could see someone who was leprous. As it progressed, it got worse and worse and worse and more evident. What else?
Most of those villages were fairly small. To have 10 people in it with leprosy kind of sounds like they had an epidemic.
Yeah. Yeah. Leprosy in that time was also associated with being unclean. And so people who were leprous, they couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't go to the local synagogue. They couldn't partake in worship of God. They couldn't be a part of any of that. In fact, they were actually considered to be spiritually and physically unclean permanently. They were like people non grata. So Jesus goes to a city where there's 10 of them. Isn't that amazing? These guys who could never worship God, who comes to them?
God.
God comes to them. And so I think that that's fascinating to me. You come in, and the first people Jesus meets are 10 outcasts. And then it said, and they lifted up their voices. What do you think that it means that they lifted up their voices?
They called out.
Okay, they called out. Why else? Why do they need to lift up their voice? Just think about the language. Lifted up.
Sing aloud.
Sing aloud, okay. But I don't think they're singing. What actually do you think they're doing when they're lifting up their voices?
Lifting up their hearts.
What's that?
They're praying.
They're praying, exactly. They're praying. So listen, you've got 10 people who are spiritual outcasts who are not allowed to go and worship in the temple, and what are they doing?
Praying.
Seems to me like they're seeking God in faith. Huh. But the people of God didn't want them to be, oh my gosh, don't even get me started.
Okay.
And what do they say?
Master, Jesus. They called out Jesus' name, actually.
Yeah.
Jesus, Master, have pity on us.
Yeah. This is fascinating because in Luke up to chapter 17, just take a roundabout guess. How many people have denied that Jesus is Master, that he is Lord, God, Savior, and King?
most of the people he dealt with.
Most of them. How many of them now? How many of them profess to be faithful, God-fearing people, do you think?
All of them.
Most of them, yeah. Yeah, we could just have the same answer, most of them. And here, they come and they say, this is fascinating. They don't come and say, heal us. They say, have mercy on us. Why? Because I think that they hadn't experienced mercy. I think that they experienced shame, guilt, and condemnation. And they come and they say, will you just look upon us with a loving heart? Will you just look upon us and say that we have value? Will you just look upon us and have mercy, have pity? We just see us as we are and not by our affliction?
That's a good point, because typically, if you had leprosy back then, everybody treated you badly because they considered that this was a punishment from God, so you must be a bad person, so you deserved whatever bad thing happened to you, and nobody would have pity on you.
Exactly. Now, verse 14, another fascinating verse. The Bible always wants to tell us so much. When he saw them. That is fascinating to me because they're lifting up their voices. So what would we immediately think that it would say about Jesus?
When he heard them.
When he heard them. I think that what people desire more than anything, especially people in this situation, is to be seen. Because they're marginalized and treated as though they don't exist. And Jesus sees them. He acknowledges them. Seeing them acknowledges that they're people, that they have some semblance of value. It's one thing just to hear people, but to see them. And knowing, when we know that Jesus sees them, he's really seeing them. Warts and all, leprosy and all. When he saw them, he said to them, what did he say?
Go, show yourself to the priest.
Again, another fascinating verse. These are guys who were spiritually and physically unclean, not allowed to go to the temple, not allowed to worship, not allowed to do any of that. Where would be the place that they would be most unlikely to go?
The temple.
The temple. And to see who?
The priest.
Because if they went and saw the priest, who would become unclean also?
The priest.
Exactly. This is pretty groundbreaking because Jesus is saying, do you have the faith to do this? Do you have the faith to go to the place where you're probably hated the most, are going to be dismissed the most, are going to be the most unwelcome? And then what does it say? And they went.
And they were cleansed. As they went.
Don't go there yet, okay. Sharon. You know why? Because I want to just highlight this. Right. It says, and they went. This is exactly the same wording that is used in Genesis 12 when Abraham leaves by faith to follow God. And when it says, and Abraham went, and Avram went. This is language associated with moving in faith. And so they move in faith. And then, Sharon, what do they experience?
They got cleansed.
They got cleansed. Can we get a collective hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
There we go. Hallelujah. That should be all that we need, right?
Amen.
Listen to this. This gets me. Verse 15. Then one of them. How many lepers were there?
Ten.
So remember, I said that if you're thankful, you're in the minority, the extreme minority, because it says then one of them. Where are the other nine? Then one of them. When he saw that he was healed. This, by the way, this seeing doesn't mean that he just looked and goes, oh, wow, I'm better. He saw in the deepest part of himself that he had been healed. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back. This is also the language of repentance, of teshuvah, of turning. When he saw that he was healed, he turned back. He saw a better way. He saw God. And what does it say that he did when he turned back?
Threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him.
Yep, but even before that, what does it say that he did?
Praise God in a loud voice.
In a loud voice. So that everyone could hear that God had done something miraculous. Imagine how much louder it would have been if all 10 decided to give thanks. But it was just one. And he fell on his face. This is the language of worship, right? Fell on his face, fell prostrate. Listen, for the Jews, falling prostrate would only be reserved for God. But that's okay, because guess what? He's not a Jew. I love how the Bible adds an even more crazy radical detail. He's a Samaritan. meaning that he's not only a leprous person, but he's also a person non grata. He is not loved by God's people, and yet he's loved by God. By the way, already we know this because Jesus has gone into Samaria, and he's gone there and met a Samaritan woman. Yes. Already loved people in that place. So now we have Samaritans giving thanks to God through Jesus. Why? Well, because 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says that that's God's will for us in Jesus, that we would give thanks in all circumstances. And we see it being played out here in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 and 9. Mm-hmm. And then it says, Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? No one was found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner." And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." See, the people who should have returned to Jesus first to give praise should have been the Jews amongst them, who were God's chosen people, who should have seen God more easily, but he didn't. It was actually the foreigner, the outcast, the most unlikely person who is transformed by the work of God and begins to give thanks. And listen, I think that all of us are unlikely people. The Bible says that we were all foreigners, that we were all outside of what God desired, and God through Christ has brought us in. I think that's a reason to give thanks. What do you think?
Amen.
Let's do this. I want us all to yell thanks. Let's all yell thank you, God, because if we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 all give thanks at one
we
time,
need that tenth
we
leper.
Are beating the curve.
That's the listener. So listener, you got to come along with us.
There you go. What a way. So 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, God.
You know, Jason, I'll close with one of the thoughts that I wrote down about he saw them and he knew them. And we all want to be known. And the fact that God knows the end from the beginning, he knows our sins, he knows our past, he knows our future. And yet he's still drawn and desiring all of us to come to know him. It's an incredible thing for all of us to be thankful, because he knows everything about you, all the shortfalls, all the mistakes, the sins that you've committed. But he still wants you to come to know him through the Lord Jesus Christ. So be thankful today. Get in a good Bible-believing church this Sunday. Pray for your pastor. And join us again next Friday as we continue this series on thankfulness. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.